1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's God's word, and all God's people said. We began last week a series on Baptist Catechism. A catechism is a way to learn doctrine in the form of questions and answers. In days gone by, it was widely used to instruct people in biblical truths. But most churches in America today have abandoned that practice. And in the process, most people in churches in America are biblically illiterate. The reason I think it is important that we know what the Bible says is because we are required as God's people not only to explain biblical truth, but also to defend biblical truth against false teaching and error. And if we don't know what the Word of God says and what it means, then we will have a hard time both explaining it and defending it against false teaching and error. So, Sunday nights, for a little while, we're going to just sort of go through a Baptist catechism and ask some questions and then answer them biblically. We began last week with the question, who is the first and the best of all beings? Who is the first and the best of all beings? We looked at Isaiah 44 to answer that question, where God said, "I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." So, the catechism begins where catechisms should begin, and that is with God. Because everything must begin with God. God is the central reality of the universe. And if He is the central reality of the universe, He ought to be the central reality of the church. And He ought to be the central reality of your family and of your life. The Bible says that all things are from Him and through Him and to Him. To Him be glory forever. It says that all things exist for Him and by Him. So I hate to burst any bubble that you may have tonight, but man is not the center of all things. God is the center of all things. And we have to, as God's people, not let what people call the gospel to be warped to fit our natural self-centeredness. That's what a lot of churches are doing. They're tweaking the gospel to put man at the center. So, the first and best of all beings is God, because God said He was the first and the last, and there was no other God besides Him. The second question that we are going to ask tonight and answer from the Word of God is, what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of why you and I exist? And the answer to that is that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So, we have to maintain the right perspective, because as natural sinners, it is very easy for us to become self-centered and proud, and somewhat self-satisfied. We're not here to make much of ourselves. We're here to make much of God. We're not here for God to make much of us. We're here to make much of God. And we do that in every single thing we do. Because God is the first and best of all things, God deserves the glory. Say amen. You see, we're not first and we're not best. Therefore, we don't deserve glory. God is first. God is best. He deserves glory. And every other created thing is called to glorify Him. Every created thing is called to glorify Him. Including us. So I think we need to be committed to one thing. Committed to one thing. As Christians, as Christian families, as a Christian church, we ought to be committed to one thing, and that is that God be glorified. And really, that is the only purpose in which we exist. And that should be our goal. So let me dissect this verse along three lines of thought. Number one. The problem is failing to glorify God is to sin against God. That's the problem. If we fail to glorify God, that is a sin against God. Listen to Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if we do not see things from that perspective, we will not understand what sin really is. We'll regulate sin to the nasty nine or the terrible 12. Reminds me of a woman that a preacher went and saw, who very rarely got out of her house, and he went to her house and trying to persuade her that she was a sinner in need of a Savior, she said, listen, I don't sin, I don't ever leave my house. You see, whatever we do, it doesn't have to be a nasty nine or a terrible 12. Whatever we do that we do not for the glory of God is a sin. For all have sinned and failed, come short of glorifying God. Say amen. So we can do what we consider to be good things, but if we do it for our own glorification or for the glorification of someone else and not God, it's sin. And we cannot understand the essence of sin unless we begin with God and His glory. Sin is an offense to God because we fail to glorify the one who deserves to be glorified. A failure here is why people no longer experience sorrow and remorse for sins like they used to. They just simply don't understand what sin is. Sin is seen as what makes us miserable, not what offends the glory of God. So our view of sin today has basically become psychological and not theological. To know what sin is, we must begin with God and begin with His purpose. Amen? And most people that you will talk to are happy to let God exist if God is there to make much of man. They're fine with God if God's role in this is to make much of us. But it is crucial for us to understand that God is the most valuable being in the universe. We are not. We are secondary. And God is not going to make much of us. And since God is the ultimate value in the universe, it's only right and fitting that we who are secondary seek to love Him and admire Him and glorify Him. when things get the other way around, it's backwards and messed up. So why does God say that it's right for Him to seek His glory, but it's wrong for us to seek our glory? Because it is wrong, right, to seek our glory. It's always right for God to seek His own glory. Why is that so? And the answer is because God is the highest being that there is. He is the most valuable being of the universe. So it is right for God to esteem and to seek the glory of the highest and the most valuable being in the universe, and that's Him. Say amen. Therefore, we are right to esteem most highly what is most valuable in the universe, and that's Him. You see, we have the same goal as God. God wants to glorify Himself because He is the highest and most valuable being in the universe. We want to bring glory to God because He is the most highest and most valuable person or being in the universe. We have the same goals. And to say that God exists to make much of us says that we are the most valuable being in the universe, and we are not. So the root problem of our human nature is that we don't want God to be God. We want to be God. Say amen. It was a problem of Satan. It is a problem with us. Say amen. We want the glory. And one clear evidence for that is how rare the biblical God-centered vision of God truly is, and how widespread the unbiblical man-centered vision of God is. Go to churches throughout Pickens County. You will find man-centered preaching and man-centered gospel. Because we simply don't want God to be God. We want to be God. So again, it's critical that we lay this truth on the table that God created us for His glory, and when we fail to glorify God, we sin against God and we offend God. Which means I can go to work, you can go to work, but if you're doing it for yourself, it's sin. We don't see that, but that's what God says. Everything that God has made, He made for a single purpose of giving Him glory. Say amen. So, we see here that the problem is our failure to glorify God is a sin against God. Number two, the purpose of our existence is to glorify God. So if you are not glorifying God in everything that you are doing, then you're failing to be what God has purposed you to be. Say amen. My purpose, your purpose is to glorify God. It's pretty simple. You don't need a book. Amen. You don't need a book written about the purposes of man. All you need to know, my purpose on this earth is to glorify God, period. God's glory is why we are still here on this earth. And no other reason is greater than this reason. And when we understand this truth, we're able to get more out of this truth. If you know and understand that you are made for God's glory, you're going to make better use of your life and you're going to be happier in your life. Say amen. If God made us for His glory, it's clear that we should live for His glory. Say amen. If God made me to bring Him glory, then my life should be lived in a way that everything that I do brings Him glory. right? So our duty comes from God's person and His design for us. It is His design that we bring Him glory. And what does it mean to glorify God? Well, it means to love God. It means to trust God. It means that we are thankful to God. And it means that we are obedient to God. We love Him. We trust Him. We're thankful to Him. And we are obedient to Him. Say amen. And the way you glorify God is the way that you glorify anything. You simply enjoy it. Say amen. You love it. Do you know what you do concerning the things that you really enjoy and you really love? You excitedly tell other people about it. Somebody help me. You go see a wonderful movie, and the movie is just a great movie. What do? You tell somebody. You might want to go see that movie. It's really good. Somebody help me. Isn't that the way we're to glorify Him? If you really love Him and trust Him and are thankful to Him and obedient to Him, and if He is the one you are glorifying, should you not talk about Him? In other words, if it is your duty to glorify something that is beautiful and wonderful, is it a burden or is it a pleasure? Yeah. You see, what happens, our telling others about Christ becomes a burden when we really don't glorify Him. If He is the most valuable thing in our life, if He is the reason why we exist, the glorification of God is why I draw breath, that's not a burden, it's a pleasure to bring Him glory. Amen. To glorify God is to receive pleasure from God and show others that He is your treasure. So, you don't glorify the strength of someone by working hard to add to their strength. Somebody help me. You simply trust it. Are you with me? To glorify God and His strength is to rest in His strength, not to try to add to His strength. Say amen. Because when I try to add to His strength, what I'm really saying is what? He's not strong enough. But if I simply rest in what He is done, if I simply rest in His strength, then I'm glorifying His strength. Can somebody say, you're right? You don't glorify generosity by trying to pay it back. No, the way that you glorify generosity and kindness is to be grateful and to be thankful. That's not a burden, right? If somebody gives you $1 million, is it a burden for you to write them a thank you note? No, it's a pleasure. Somebody help me. It is a pleasure. We don't really know that, but it would be. It's a pleasure. We don't groan under the duty to feel thankful for somebody who has given us $1 million. It's a pleasure, not a hardship. Amen? The way that you glorify God and God's Word, how do you glorify God's Word? By doing what it says. You obey without doubting. You obey without grumbling. In other words, glad-hearted obedience glorifies the wisdom of God. That's not a burden. Why? Because God created us for His glory. God shares with us all that He is. For our enjoyment, for our good, for His glory. So the most important thing in the entire universe is not peace in the Middle East. It's not a good economy. It's not trying to avoid a recession. The most important thing in the whole universe is to glorify God. God is to be glorified. God is to be exalted. God is to be honored. That's our purpose. right? So on my job, in my marriage, in my family, whatever, it is to be done for the single purpose of glorifying God. And so the songwriter was right when he said, "Let every kindred, let every tribe on this celestial ball to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all." Amen? So we see here that the problem is for us is that when we fail to glorify God, it is sin against God, and the purpose for our very existence, the reason that we will draw breath tomorrow morning and get up and go about another day, is for the purpose of glorifying God. Say amen. Tomorrow, listen, tomorrow, what is tomorrow about? It's about glorifying God. Say amen. It's not about going to work and doing your job and doing it well and getting a payday. It's about glorifying God. If you're staying home tomorrow and you're sitting on the couch, glorify God. Tomorrow is about glorifying God. It's our purpose for which we have another day on this earth. Number three. The pursuit of doing everything to the glory of God. So that's our pursuit. Our pursuit is not just on Sunday glorifying God, but every day in everything we are pursuing to do everything to the glory of God. Say amen. That's what Paul says. But Paul says, whatever we do, is that what he said? Whatever we do, we're to do all of it to what? To the glory of God. Now, Paul says, whether you eat or you drink. Now, those two things, eating and drinking, are the most ordinary, mundane activities we have every single day. Say amen. We eat and we drink. Those are just common, everyday, ordinary, mundane, daily activities. They are the simple things or the ordinary things of life. And he says that even when we do those simple, ordinary, mundane things, we're to do them to the glory of God. So that you eat to the glory of God, you drink to the glory of God, and everything you do for the glory of God. So that God is honored and God is glorified in everything that we do. So, it's not just the big things. It's not just the religious things. It is not just the evangelistic things. But in the everyday things, we're to glorify God. Which means whether we're washing dishes, taking out the trash, changing diapers, cutting grass, cutting weeds, whatever we're doing it with the purpose of seeking to honor and glorify God with the entirety of our lives. Say amen. So that we're not just Christians per se on Sunday. We're God's children every day. Say amen. Washing dishes, taking out the trash, changing diapers, cutting grass. I'm still God's child doing that. How do you like washing dishes? How do you like taking out trash? How do you like changing diapers? Well, it's okay if you're doing it for the glory of God. Say amen. You see, if you're doing it for Him, you'll never feel like you're too good to do it. Say amen. You plunge a toilet. You clean some water out of the bathroom floor. Why? For the glory of God. Say amen. That way I never feel that I'm too good to do it. To glorify God is to delight in Him in everything we do. We value Him above everything else. And I think, what each of us should be known as, or what we should want to be known as, what the world should see us as, is a people who glory in God. A people who value God more than anything else. A people who delight in God more than anything else in this world. And they should be able to see that in us, in the ordinary, everyday, mundane activities of our life. Say amen. Anything that is ever done here on this earth is to be done for His glory. Not for me. Say amen. I'm not to preach for me. I'm not to pastor for me. I'm not to do anything for me, for my wife or for my children. I'm to do everything for the glory of God. Say amen. We need to reclaim that. Yes? We need to reclaim that in our hearts and in our minds, that I exist for the glory of God, and everything that I do is for the glory of God. And I want to tell you something. According to Paul, the capacity to glorify God is in everything we do. So you don't have to do something big and religious in church to glorify God. You can glorify God at your house when there's nobody else around. Because everything that we do has the capacity to glorify God. There is nothing so lowly or seemingly unimportant that it cannot be done to the glory of God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, how do the heavens declare the glory of God? Do the stars glorify God if they shine brighter than they ever have shone before? Huh? I mean, to glorify God, do stars have to shine brighter? Or does the moon have to be brighter? Or does the sun have to be hotter? Now, how do the heavens glorify God? They simply do what they do. So stars shine and sun shines and moon reflects the light of the sun. It just does what it does in its ordinary course of nature, and in that course it declares the glory of God. And that's how we are to declare the glory of God. In the unexciting, common activities such as eating and drinking and washing dishes, cutting grass, pulling weeds, in everything we do, we are to do it to the glory of God. And where is that? It's in my heart. You see, God knows why you do everything that you do. Say amen. If I pull weeds so that people that go by the street won't think that I'm a lazy slob, that I want them to think well of me, that's not why I should do it. I should pull those weeds so that the pulling of those weeds might be used of God to bring glory to Him. Say amen. I would remind you, you understand that Satan and the fallen angels, they fell from heaven because of their sin, because of their rebellion. There's only one other rebel besides Satan and his fallen angels. You know who that is? Man. Us. We have defied the glory of God. We have denied the glory of God. We have rejected the glory of God. We have separated ourselves from the glory of God. We have fallen short of the glory of God. That's what we have done. But God, for some marvelous, gracious, merciful, compassionate reason, has said, I'm not through with you. He has provided for us salvation in Jesus Christ, and we are able to see and experience God's glory in the person and work of Christ. And it is through Christ that we can glorify God. So wherever God has placed you, and whatever God has given us to do, we need to take those things and those environments, and we need to use those for the glory of God. So we eat that meal to the glory of God, and we thank Him for the provision of it. Say amen. We don't act like a bunch of hogs who just eat and never give any thought of where it came from. Say amen. This meal came from God. God provided this meal. But wait a minute, preacher. God didn't provide that meal. I provided that meal. I'm the one that got out and worked and got a payday and put the money in the bank, and my wife went out and bought that stuff at Walmart and she cooked it on the stove. God had nothing to do with this. God had everything to do with that. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have a job. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have the health to work. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have the mind to work. Somebody help me. You stop and you thank God. And let me say something here that I've been working on in my own heart, in my own life. I'm just going to say this and you can think about it and process it. I haven't really worked it all the way out or not. You know, we sort of get together. I told Denise this. We get to the dinner table and one person leads grace, thanking God. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. If I say grace for all of us at the table, I have robbed you from doing what you're to do. It's just not me that's supposed to give glory to God. You're supposed to give glory to God. We're all to thank God for what He has provided for all of us. Say amen. You can work that out. I'm still working it out. Don't know if that's exactly right or not, but I'm working on it. Amen? So you eat the meal to the glory of God. You thank Him for the provision. You work your job for the glory of God, and you bless His name. You thank Him for giving you employment. Say amen. So if you believe that God is worthy of glory, and if you believe God is worthy of praise, and if you believe God is worthy of adoration and majesty from us, then you will recognize that sometimes the only way that God will, the only way that people will see His glory is through us. And isn't that our responsibility as His people? To be like the heavens that declare His glory in the everyday activities that they do. And isn't it our responsibility to declare the glory of God in the everyday things that we do, wherever God has placed us and in whatever God has given us privilege to do? What is the chief end of man? Or let me put it this way. What is the chief end of Mike Belcher? What is the chief end of Jack Hansen? What is the chief end of Barry Freeman? What is the chief end of, what is the purpose of Bob Cook? It's this: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is our purpose on this earth, and nothing else is to take that purpose's place. Amen?